Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Command Zone Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Wong, joined today by the one and only DJ.
Hello, everyone. It's really nice to be here.
Oh, yeah. It's been so long since I've seen people outside of the people that normally inhabit this household. So it's great to hang out with an old friend, DJ.
Hey, aren't vaccines great?
They are amazing, in fact.
We're right next to each other.
We're right next to each other. And I feel like it's, I don't know, I feel revitalized. I feel refreshed. I feel ready to talk about Commander.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what we're doing today, because we are going to preview not just one card, but the entire pre-con deck for Boros. It is Lorehold Legacies. This is one of the five pre-cons that they're releasing alongside Strixhaven. It's the best part of the year. It comes at seemingly any point of the year now when we have all the pre-con decks, but this is really exciting. DJ, you got to look at this deck and you built this outline. Are you excited?
I am super excited because this deck has a lot of really great value at every point.
Mm-hmm.
Financial value when you're playing it, value engines in it. But also, there's some cards in here that could really shake up your commander decks, even if you're not playing this specific precon.
Yeah, dare we say format staple in red and white. Not kidding around. Before we get into it, though, if you want to pre-order this deck, and honestly, this is one of the ones that when I saw it, I'm like, I want this one. You should head on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. Just type it into your URL. You got all that Strixhaven stuff, five precons, tons of stuff to get right now. They're the people that we trust to get it to us the fastest at the quality that they promise. So make sure you use that affiliate link when you do. And when those cards arrive, throw them into some Ultra Pro sleeves. The fact that we have these out here makes me a little nervous, but they're on Ultra Pro playmats. So I feel good about that part about it. Ultra Pro, another sponsor of the show. Again, you can get their products on Card Kingdom. You can also just get it at your LGS, because I think a lot of local stores are going to need a little bit of support as we get back into the card playing world, the physical one at least. And finally, the last way to support the show is patreon.com/commandzone. We shout out one lucky patron every week, and this week's episode is dedicated to Brandon Swiss.
Brandon, you rock.
There you go. Yeah, I was going to say, my brain just did this like, meh. I was like, wait a minute, do I need to say you rock? I've never done that. Okay, so let's get right into it. Lorehold Legacies. Lorehold is one of the five main colleges at Strixhaven, and Boros is their color. And just so you all know, we will all, and probably including DJ, be talking about these cards in depth, right? Analysis, what cards work with it, what it's similar to, what cards synergize with it in future reviews. Right now, we're here just to preview all of these awesome new cards so that you can see what's going on. We're also going to do that budget upgrade guide in the future. So don't worry if we don't talk about too much strategy here. There's a lot of new cards to get through, and we're really excited to analyze them and talk about them at a later date. Right now, we're just previewing them for your brains to explode about.
Yeah, so we have 21 new cards in this. Yeah, that's a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
But 21 new cards in this commander deck. I'm really excited. Four of them are from the Strixhaven set. Mm-hmm. So you might be able to be drafting some of these a little bit later. But there's some really good ones. And in fact, there's four new legendary creatures. It's a good place to start.
Yep.
Let's start with the face card.
Let's do it. So two of these four new legendary creatures are Boros legendaries. I'll start off with the one that's on the front of the box. It is Ozgir, the Reconstructor. This is two red and a white for a 4/4 legendary creature, Giant Artificer. It's got Vigilance, as a lot of Giants do, right? I guess they stand tall.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, it's a giant thing. Now, that's two abilities on here, and you're going to very quickly see what Lorehold is all about when we talk about these cards. So, the first ability is pay one, sacrifice an artifact. Target creature you control gets +2/+0 until end of turn. And the second ability is pay X and then tap Ozgear to exile an artifact with mana value X from your graveyard. So mana value again is the name for CMC. And then create two tokens that are copies of the exiled card. Activate only as a sorcery. So if you have a 3 CMC or 3 mana value card in your graveyard that's an artifact, you pay 3, tap Ozgear, you exile that, and then you make 2 copies of it onto your battlefield, only at sorcery speed.
You know, for a second I was afraid when you said sacrifice an artifact and grant power. This is like, oh my gosh, more attacking. But this, but this is really a sacrifice outlet and a value engine built together into a commander that cares about artifacts.
Yeah, and this is one of those cards where we like to say everything you need to know is on the card itself. Ozgear will sacrifice the artifact for you, and then you can use Ozgear to bring it back later on. These aren't copies that last until end of turn. They are token copies that exist until they go away, which is pretty powerful. So I really like this card a lot. Lorehold seems to be drawing a value in Boros, right, from the graveyard and specifically with Artifact Recursion, which is a great spot, I think, for Boros to be in. It's not attacking, it's not equipment anymore like we've seen for way too long. Now we actually have some value tacked on.
Yeah, we got some real archaeologists in Lorehaven. Lorehold. There we go.
Lorehaven is
Lorehaven.
Everything.
Lorehaven.
Frizhaven, Silverhaven.
All right, we have another Boros commander, legendary creature in here. It's Alibu.
Boo.
Ancient Witness. It's a 4/5 legendary artifact creature golem. It's 3 red/white.
Okay, so whenever one or more artifact creatures you control attack, Alibu deals X damage to any target. And you scry X, where X is the number of tapped artifacts you control. So this is pretty cool. It's an effect for all artifact creatures other than Alibu. They get haste, and then when they attack, this is going to do damage to them without even needing to attack, but then you get a scry X. So if you have a bunch of tapped artifacts already on the battlefield, mana rocks or whatever, that's a bunch of value.
Yeah, this is great because you initially go Boros and you think, oh, well, if I attack with a bunch of artifacts, I'll deal more damage and it feels very Borosy. But then you mentioned mana rocks. Mm-hmm. There's tons of ways that you can tap artifacts. And then you don't have to attack. You have other ways of getting damage through and scrying, like you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly, right? You can just have one artifact creature attack, including Alibu as a 4/5, and then that's going to do X damage. Let's say you have 5 other artifacts tapped, that's going to do 5-6 damage, and then you're going to scry that many. That's pretty cool. When you're scrying about 3 or 4, that's basically drawing 1 to 2 cards at that point. It's what it feels like, at least.
Alibu grants haste, which is really good if you are attacking, and we also have Thopter Engineer in this set, and so we have other ways of granting haste for our artifacts.
Pretty exciting. Both of these, I think, are going to be really fun to build around. Obviously, they both work great together in the same deck as well, so I'm excited to see what goes on there. Okay, let's move on to the mono-colored legendaries. There are two of them. The first is Lashiel Clockwork Scholar. It's an elephant. 2 and a white for a 2/4 legendary creature, Elephant Artificer. Prevent all combat damage that will be dealt to attacking artifact creatures you control. Okay? And whenever one or more artifact creatures enter the battlefield under your control, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. Oh.
This, again, is doing something similar where you feel like it's the normal Boros thing where it's like, okay, it rewards you for attacking.
Attacking, right.
But then it has the card draw tacked onto it. It feels like it's riding the line between this whole deck,
right,
between being able to attack and then being able to do other value engine things.
Yeah, just playing this as a 3-mana creature and then anytime an artifact creature enters the battlefield under control, once a turn, you draw a card. That is in and of itself good enough. And then it has this nice sort of Iroas ability tapped on where, you know, it's, you know, attacking artifact creatures don't take combat damage. I'm pretty pleased so far. I don't know about you, DJ.
I know. There's a ton of ways to just cast an artifact, put an artifact in. Like, that's, I mean,
we've only talked
really
about
good.
3 cards. And every single one of them have some sort of card advantage, if not direct card draw tacked right onto them. Good job, Wizards. All right, the next monocolored hero or legendary is Laelia, the Blade Reforged, 2 and red for a 2/2 legendary creature, Spirit Warrior, has haste. Whenever Laelia or Layla, whenever L attacks, exile the top card of your library, you may play that card this turn. And whenever you exile one or more cards from your library and or your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on Laelia. Okay.
What do you like impulsive draw?
Considering it's the only draw that Red's gotten, you're kind of forced to like it. But you watch as they keep making more and more impulsive draw effects over the years, and obviously, you know, they get better and better with the more that you have because you have more options, and White has just been lagging behind. So I'm actually fine with this because there's now tons of ways to do this, obviously, right?
But also, if you have other impulsive draw effects, then you're going to grow this creature as well, because it's not right. just its own exile, impulsive draw exile that grows it, it's anyone.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, and you wrote this down, I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even see this, right? Cards like Underworld Breach and Grim Lavamancer work great here because it's whenever you exile one or more cards from your graveyard as well. So if you have ways to get rid of cards in your graveyard, that's another way to grow this really quickly. I think it's going to be very hard to block a card like Lelia when it's attacking.
For sure.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about some of the single target removal, the targeted removal that we have in this
Ooh,
set.
New cards that are targeted removal in
I know.
Boros. I'm excited.
I know.
Get out of here.
Ah!
You did that so well. Jeez.
The tables have turned. I'm usually the one that's the worst at throwing the vapor off.
I just throw it behind me. I don't know. I was trying to copy you. It looked so cool when you did it.
Okay, I want to talk about Rip Apart. Red and white for a sorcery. Choose one. Rip Apart does 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker.
Okay.
Or destroy target artifact or an enchantment.
Artifact or an enchantment.
Two mana.
Hey, 2 mana, sorcery speed. All right.
Sorcery speed.
But here's, it doesn't target players, but I'm looking at this as just, this is nice and flexible here, right? Creature or planeswalker can get rid of a lot of stuff, and artifact or enchantment.
It seems flexible, right?
Yeah, it seems very flexible. I mean, enchantment removal, I think, is quickly growing to be one of the most important things I think I need in most Commander games, much more than artifact removal, because so many enchantments are the kind of cards that win people the game, especially because I see people willing to pay like 7 mana for big ones, too. So something like Rip Apart seems very, very solid.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's an uncommon. It's in the main set?
In the main set.
Okay, there you go. Draft it. All right, next up we have Excavation Technique, 3 and a white for a sorcery, and this has a new keyword ability on it. Demonstrate. When you cast this spell, you may copy it. If you do, choose an opponent to also copy it. Players may choose new targets for their copies. And what Excavation Technique does is destroy target non-land permanent. Its controller creates 2 treasure tokens. Okay, so this needs a little bit more explanation. Demonstrate is an optional ability. When I cast this, I don't have to copy it. But if I do, I can be like, DJ, I also want you to have a copy of this. So you get to choose new targets for your copy, and you get to destroy a target non-land permanent. However, the controller of that permanent makes 2 treasure tokens.
Obviously, there would be a little bit of political talking beforehand, but I accept.
Yeah, and I definitely want to do this because I get to do this twice now. You know, you wrote this down. I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean I get to do this twice? When I demonstrate, I get to cast it again, and I give you 1 copy, which seems great for you, but seems pretty good for me, too.
So if we're in cahoots, which we're going to be, right?
Right, of course.
Then we look across the table at Josh's board, and we destroy 3 things?
3 things. Now, if we do 3 things on Josh's board, he does make 6 treasure tokens, but if those 3 things are more worth it than 6 extra mana, I mean, that seems pretty darn solid. The only thing that seems a little bad is like if you blow their commander up because you're giving them the mana to recast it, right?
But that's interesting. Yeah.
You are still putting them back quite a bit because they got to rebuild their board.
I like it. And I like demonstrate as a mechanic.
Yeah.
I like the ability to finagle things. And also it's like a good sort of king killer effect.
Yeah, yeah,
because
sure.
In commander games, like people pull ahead and sometimes you got to team up to take down the person that's pulling ahead of everyone else. And cards like this can help equalize a game.
Yep. And I personally like cards that ask players to work together rather than oppose each other all the time. So cards like this are really fun. Not to mention, right, I could target my own stuff. You could target your own stuff if you copy it, and then you're basically ramping.
Wait, is this a ramp? Is this a ramp spell?
This is a 4 mana, destroy one of your own things. It can't be a land, so you can't blow up a land, but you
sacrifice
do ramp.
Sacrifice 2 random things. You have
yeah. I mean, it seems really good with Ozgear, right? Because Ozgear can bring it back from the graveyard and you get even more copies of it. But yeah, you could blow up your own stuff for sure and ramp. So hey, not bad. Okay, so as far as targeted removal goes, Excavation Technique is one of the more fascinating spells I think I've seen in Mono White in a very long time. And I'm pleased to say that it only gets better as we keep going through this set. So let's go into a new category that you listed as conditional value. So conditional value means you have to satisfy a condition to get some value. But the fact that you put the word value in a Boros deck.
All of these cards, if you jump through the right hoops, will give you a ton of value.
Okay. And we love jumping through hoops as Magic players. So the first up is Battle Mage's Bracers, 2 and a red for an artifact equipment. Equipped creature has haste. Whenever an ability of equipped creature is activated, if it isn't a mana ability, you may pay one generic mana. If you do copy that ability, you may choose new targets for the copy. And the equip cost here is 2. So at its basic, gives is a 3-mana spell that costs 2 to equip, and it gives a equipped creature haste. And then it does something very powerful. A card called Illusionist Bracer does this. And that's one of the more powerful cards in Magic.
Now, there's a little bit of difference. Illusionist Bracers is completely colorless. This, you have to be in red. Illusionist Bracers also doesn't have a mana sink. Like, this makes you pay one in order to activate this thing. One is not a big cost. This also gives it haste. So maybe if you are comboing off or doing something valuable, you're like, okay, I play the creature, immediately equip this thing, and then do the thing I want to do.
Right, because you need the creature to activate its ability. The haste part is actually way less about attacking. Wow. Boros is just, they're like really trying to trick us. They're like, hey, haste is attacking. It's like, no. It's about activating abilities because of this card. That's very exciting. I definitely think there's a lot of combo potential here. And again, we'll talk more in depth about those combos when we do our full on set review. You want to read the next one?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Audacious Reshapers. 2 and a red for a 3/3 creature human artificer. You can tap and sacrifice an artifact and reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal an artifact card. Put that card onto the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. Audacious Reshapers deals damage to you equal to the number of cards revealed this way. Whoa. Hold up. I didn't even see that last part. Because the rest of this is gravy. Sack an artifact, a really crappy one, and then you can get a Blightsteel Colossus?
You could. It's left up to the randomness of the top of your library. And if you have crappy artifacts to sacrifice, there are probably at least a couple more in your library somewhere.
Right.
But this is the great red randomness that I like, but a lot of times you can set it up so that it is, you know, a lot better than you might think.
Mm-hmm. And I could totally see decks that play blue or other top deck manipulation colors can play really well with this because you brainstorm and then audacious something nuts, right? So pretty interesting stuff there.
There's a lot of different decks that kind of polymorph, you know what I mean? Blue specifically, but you just kind of go until you get the top of your deck. In this deck specifically, just for playstyle purposes, you have a ton of artifacts. You're probably going to take 3 damage, you know, because the artifact count is so high. So you're just like, all right, trade it in for something better.
And this isn't a one-off effect,
it's a creature.
Yeah.
And you're right, you can bring it back. There's a ton of recursion in here too.
Yeah, and you can sacrifice a treasure, maybe from an excavation technique targeting yourself. There's lots of stuff you can do here, so pretty interesting.
Jimmy?
Yeah?
Would you like a secret rendezvous?
Sure, where are we meeting? Where are we dropping?
I don't know where we're meeting, but we're going to draw some cards together.
What? I'm there, dude. Seeker told me that first. Does it need to be a secret?
Seeker of Rendezvous is 1 white for a sorcery. You and target opponent each draw 3 cards.
That's a mono white card that just said draw 6.
Morrow teased this, by the way. He teased this that there was a white card that said draw 3 on it or whatever like that.
Yeah, that's right.
But people were racking their brains like, in what world would white draw 3 cards? This is unbelievable.
What's the downside? This
is the world. Yeah. The downside is you have to give your opponent 3 cards.
Okay. I mean, again, like you said, great point with excavation technique earlier, which is like there's going to be Kingmaker moments and King Toppler moments. And this seems like a really solid way, especially if you're in a deck that wants to, right? And like, do you play Humble Defector?
I do play Humble Defector.
Yeah, I think this is better.
Do you play Temple Bell or Howling Mine?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Okay.
And in this case, you don't need to target the player that's in first. In fact, this could earn you a lot of great points here. You and target opponent each draw 3 cards.
I would actually do a lot to make this deal. For you to pay 3 mana for me to draw cards.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely give you a card's worth of value for that.
Right. Maybe you could do something like, look, I'll draw 3 cards, and then one of the cards I draw or a card in my hand will be in your honor because you helped me draw it or whatever.
Just pull a card off the top of the deck and you're just like, this one right here.
Yeah.
It's yours, Jimmy. Is it a land? I don't know.
I don't know. It's a secret,
is
right?
Is it an amazing spell? You don't know either, but this one's yours.
Yeah. This is cool though. I mean, I like the lore here, which is like 2 students from other colleges are meeting and trading information.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because it says Strixhaven's 5 colleges encourage natural rivalries among the student, but some bonds transcend all barriers.
Aww.
That is nice. I like having you here. It's not a secret anymore, but it is a rendezvous. Okay, let's move on to flexible mana fixing, another great name of a category here. So we have some interesting cards. These are not as flashy as what we've seen before, but they're still powerful. So the first is Ruin Grinder, 5 and a red for a 7/4 artifact creature construct with Menace or Menace. When Ruin Grinder dies, each player may discard their hand and draw 7 cards. An optional wheel when the 6-mana artifact dies. It also has mountain cycling for two. So mountain cycling, similar to land cycling. You basically pay two mana, discard this card, and you can go through your deck for a mountain card. So it doesn't need to be a basic land. Put it into your hand, then shuffle. So this is also just great on turn two when you don't have any other plays. Cycle it, draw a land into your hand. Sometimes in certain decks, if you run enough land cyclers, you can count that almost as an extra land in your deck.
Land cycling is sneaky good because the worst thing in the world is to miss your land drops in Commander. We talk about how ramp is so important, but if you miss your land drop, your ramp doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, like you need to stay up to pace in the game. And so this is flexible enough to be able to get the mana that you need if you need it, and then at the top end have this kind of big thing that comes down. And by the way, if you're paying not much mana for it, you might be a little bit empty-handed, and then you might need that wheel effect.
Yeah, no kidding. And you have ways to sacrifice artifacts in this deck. This seems like a really good card, actually. I think this is sneaky good.
Do you know what else it is, too?
What is it?
Do you need a way to get an artifact just into your graveyard? To cheat it back into play, or just to have it there in general?
Yep.
You got an easy cycling effect to just throw it in there.
Yeah, and honestly, two mana is not a huge cost to draw a land into your hand. Like, right? Like, you could read this as mono red, pay two mana, draw a land that fixes you, which is pretty solid.
Yeah. Angel of the Ruins is 5WW for a 5/7 artifact creature angel. It has flying, and when Angel of the Ruins enters the battlefield, exile up to two target artifact and or enchantments.
And this is an artifact?
It is an artifact.
Okay.
Artifacty angel. And then it has plane cycling for two.
Oh, okay. So these are the two, cycling friends.
Yeah, these are the cycling friends. They're buddies, you know. How much would you pay to exile two artifacts or enchantments?
Typically, we have four mana, so we're about standard for that, right?
Okay. And then what would you pay for a 5/7 flyer?
5 to 6 mana, probably.
We're getting there, folks. This is kind of a good value.
7 mana, blow two things up and get a huge flyer.
And have the flexibility of getting your land if you need to, or getting this into the graveyard if you need to.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when you need artifacts and enchantments gone, you need them gone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So almost like value destroy artifacts or enchantments rather than I need to answer this, I need to deal with the board state kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it is definitely a little bit limited, but I'm surprised at the power level of these kind of what seems like big dumb throwaway cards, you know?
Honestly, I kind of really like this card. White has a lot of ways to flicker stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're flickering it, awesome. If you're in red and white, there are times when you die to flyers and you need a way to stabilize the board as well as deal with threats. It's not just enough to play a breed creature. Sometimes you need to get rid of something and have a threat in the way. So that's why Enter the Battlefield abilities are so good. Angel of the Ruins. I hope I never get ruined by it, but maybe I'll ruin someone else. Okay, and then we have two lands that are, one of them is in the main set, which is Lorehold Campus, the actual campus. It is a land that taps for red or white, enters the battlefield tapped, and you can pay 4 mana to tap it and scry 1. So this is about as common as it gets.
4 mana.
Common power level, yeah. No thanks. Also, enters the battlefield tapped. So, I mean, if you're really struggling for card advantage, maybe.
I mean, are you playing are you playing Guild Gates, Jimmy?
No. Then, okay. Yeah.
Then no, this card's not.
Honestly, I might want the land that gives me a life when it enters the battlefield tapped more than the Lorehold Campus, because based on some of the cards we're going to talk about later, card advantage is not as much of a big deal anymore for these colors. And the other land is Study Hall, which bears some similarities to Opal Palace. So you can tap it to add colorless, or you can pay 1 and tap it to add 1 mana of any color. When you spend this mana to cast your commander, you scry X, where X is the number of times it's been cast from the command zone this game. So at the most, you're probably going to scry 1 for it. But if you think about it, you're paying 1 extra mana to cast your commander and scry 1. So that's actually not the worst. But it's not flashy.
Doesn't it seem weird that it's just in two colors in Boros that you like need this level of fixing? It feels clunky.
Right. You don't necessarily need this. But if your Boros deck just has like 5 non-basics, I think Study Hall is fine. Just because you're not going to be choked on colors too often. And it's not like it's in a color like black where you need to have black mana producers because so many cards ask you of that. Mm-hmm. All right. So that is the first set of new cards. But we're going to take a quick mid-roll break. And when we come back, DJ, I believe we are going to potentially talk about cards that we might mention in every single set review moving forward.
These are some powerful cards.
They're some very powerful cards. We'll be right back to talk about them in a moment.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, we're back. Someone might be like, Jimmy, the hyperbole is too much. But the first time I saw these cards, I was blown away. How did you feel the first time you saw them?
I was excited.
Yep.
You know, because I like playing red and white decks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just feeling sad, perpetually sad that I'm always starting behind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't have access to the same toys that you do, Simic players.
Yeah.
But now,
oh, look, you got extra lands onto the battlefield. That's cool. Not me though.
But now we have some new toys. And I really like that. It's just not, hey, just put a land on the battlefield.
Right.
They feel Borosy. They feel unique. They're powerful. Let's stop teasing them.
And you know what? One more shout out to Lorehold. They found out, hey, you know, if we can give red and white something, let's give them good artifact stuff.
Yeah,
play
sure.
with artifacts. That right? That because artifacts to begin with are kind of every color, and now Lorehold has that, and it's giving us the value we need. Please kick us off with that Cursed Mirror.
Cursed Mirror is an artifact. It's 2 and a red, and you can tap it for a red. So 2 and a red artifact, tap it for a red.
Okay.
Thumbs up. Baseline. Okay. As Cursed Mirror enters the battlefield, you may have it become a copy of any creature on the battlefield until end of turn, except it has haste.
What?
So what? I like the floor on this. 3 mana artifact.
3 mana mana.
For red. I mean, like, we'd prefer it to be a 2, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But is that bad?
It's not awful.
No.
It's not great. But again, this is an artifact deck that needs artifacts as well to sacrifice being the band wherever it is. But this second part?
What about the ability late game to draw your mana rock and be like, oh, I'm going to copy your Eldrazi.
Yeah.
I'm going to copy your Atali. I'm going to copy your dragon, your angel, your anything.
And it has haste, so you can swing with it that turn. You know, obviously it's going to switch back into the Cursed Mirror afterwards, but sometimes you don't, it doesn't matter, right? Let's say someone has a crazy creature out, like a Hellkite Tyrant. That's also in the deck, by the way. And you swing with that thing. That's a massive swing.
Clone effects, copy effects, they're fun in Commander. I like playing with them.
Yeah.
They're really fun. They're very fair because you're looking at the board and you're playing something that's reacting to the board in front mm-hmm. of you, you know? And they're good catch-up mechanics too. Someone has a crazy board state and then suddenly this can save you. So this is a card that can do things that a lot of other cards can't.
Yeah.
And it's just a mana rock.
Yeah, as it enters the battlefield too, so you're going to get the ETB abilities of stuff.
Oh,
and
my gosh, I didn't think of that.
And it's a 3 mana, right? Normally for 3 mana, it's like, oh, okay, you're going to active treason something. But at the end of the day, when that creature is done for and it turns back into the Cursed Mirror, you just have a mana rock.
Just think about all the ETBs that you can get off of this.
Mm-hmm. Sun Titan. I mean, right? You're going to find value somewhere else from someone else's thing. Because you are in Boros, so you're mono red. I think this is like, honestly, this feels like this is the other thing. You can copy your own creatures. Cursed Mirror is pushed. I think this card is absolutely pushed for a mono red artifact. I mean, the only way that this could be more powerful, I think, is if you made it a permanent copy or if it costs 2 mana. Like, the fact that...
And those are small things, honestly.
Yeah,
because if you want a permanent copy, you know, they're... they're Dax Duplicate. I know you have to go into blue, but Dax Duplicate, you know, four mana, copy a thing, has haste, you know, something like that. But I love the fact that when you don't, sometimes a copy doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's turn three, and like there isn't really a good creature to put on the battlefield. It doesn't matter. You just play your mana rock.
This card is almost never dead. And even if you could copy something impactful on turn three, like what if you copy Nazooza and then put two more lands on the battlefield, right?
Gosh, Jimmy, you're blowing my mind.
There's just so much
stop
stuff.
Stop naming staples that work with this card. Yeah, right. They're all of them.
All of them, yeah. There's no CMC requirements. It can be any creature, including your own. It just seems very, very powerful. I just love that you can use it early and late. And the best part is, that's not even the best card that we're going to be talking about.
No.
Okay, next up we have Monologue Tax. 2 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts their second spell each turn, you create a treasure token. Oh boy. Do you like Smothering Tithe?
I do like Smothering Tithe. Does everyone else like Smothering Tithe?
Probably not, but this is a Smothering Tithe that doesn't make you ask them, do you want to pay the whatever? Right? Nice, you almost got there.
Yeah.
The picture obviously reminds you of Smothering Tithe, right? It's just the person.
Oh, it totally does.
Yeah, just the coming out of the mouth. Yeah. I think quite often we are casting two spells a turn in Commander. So I would say you play this on turn three. You pass the turn four, turn five, there's a very good chance that at least two of your opponents on each rotation are going to cast two spells that turn. So that means you're going to get 3, 4, 5 treasures maybe off of this already. I mean, that pays for itself at that point.
Yeah. And I think that it's a fair thing to say that this does pay for itself. It is good value, but like, the fact that it's so closely compared to Smothering Tithe means that this might feel a little bit lackluster because Smothering Tithe does do some crazy stuff and people wheel and people like draw tons of cards and, you know, you end up with masses of treasure in front of you. And this is not exactly Smothering Tithe, but Smothering Tithe sometimes doesn't even feel that great.
You know? It's one of those effects that I actually put in less of my decks unless they desperately need it because I don't like, right? It's the same reason I'm taking a Rhystic Study out of some decks because I just don't like sitting there and being the tax police. You know, and Smothering Tithe is obviously more powerful, but this is 3 mana. I think this is still going to do a lot of work.
Mana Ramp coming down earlier has a larger impact on the game. So the fact that this comes down on 3 and maybe can help two, boost you into like higher costing mana spells earlier, turn earlier, is better.
Yeah, I like Monologue Attacks a lot. I think this is much, much better very early in the game when players are going to be, but later on in the game too, it could still just get you right passive mana generation. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of card that if it's on the table, no one's looking to remove it with a removal spell because they don't see the impact as hard, right? It's not Rhystic Study, you're not drawing a bunch of cards, but you're going to get a lot of value out of it, I think, if you can get out early. And then the last artifact, this one is, again, absurdly exciting. Archaeomancer's Map, 2 and a white for an artifact. When Archaeomancer's Map enters the battlefield, search your library for up to 2 basic planes cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle. So right off the bat, this is Divination. It's a 3 mana draw 2 spell at sorcery speed.
People discriminate, but lands are cards too.
Yeah, 100%. Because when you cast your Divination, you could just draw 2 lands off the top of your library. This gets you 2 planes specifically, basic planes. But the second part is where things get nuts.
This needs to do more. You don't play Divination in any of your decks, right? Okay.
But I will play this now in a lot. Okay, so the second part of our Archaeomancer's Map. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, if that player controls more lands than you, then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. Static effect, rest of the game, you just drew 2 planes, and this is how you catch up. Wow. It's not just players playing lands, too. Fetch lands, cracked land, any myriad landscapes. Anytime a player puts a land out and the land comes in and they have more lands than you, you get to ramp a card out of your hand immediately.
This is great, you know, because this isn't just the 2 lands that you draw. These are lands for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have lands on the battlefield and there is going to be someone that has more than you.
Yeah.
You know, it's always going to happen. And so this effect of just keep catching up over and over again is great. It's great.
Yeah. And like, sure, at some point, maybe you run out of lands to put onto the battlefield, but this at the very least does the thing that we really want white to be able to do, which is catch up to the opponent in a way that feels fair. Because white isn't the color that's going to jump in front of your opponents, but it is totally the one that's about balancing things out. Catching up is definitely, I think, the theme that we're seeing here. Boros is now loving artifacts and value. Red loves impulsive draw. White likes to catch up. So if your opponents are casting more spells, the tax you create is I get to get more treasures. Smothering Tithe, all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, three mana sort of spell in green, like Cultivator, Kadama's Reach, Commander Staples, you get a land on the battlefield and you draw a land essentially for three mana. This, I mean, all that has to happen is someone plays a land that has more than you, and suddenly you take that plains that you got and put it on the battlefield, and you just Kadama's Reached. You just cultivated, but you still have this effect on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's great. And this is another one of those effects where no one's going to get rid of it, because who wants to waste an artifact removal spell on something like this when something crazy is on the other side? Heck, as long as you're not the first player, Archaeomancer's map looks amazing. Because, you know, if you're the second player, even the player that's in the first in the turn order, they should be hitting lands every turn, and that means that you at some point will be able to put that land on the battlefield. Amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. So I'm pretty sure we are going to see all three of these cards quite a bit. Monologue Tax and Archaeomancer's Map are both definitely staples of decks that need it in mono white, two color white spells, as long as green is not involved, really. Or blue. Okay,
there's a lot of caveats.
There's a lot of caveats, yeah. but the, I mean, like, you know, people jokingly say, I don't know if you see these comments on game nights, but I'm like, ah, yes, all the four colors of Magic are represented today because we just have avoided having white on
the show
for like three episodes. Yeah, so finally, white gets a couple of tools that are going to be able to catch them up to the rest of the squad. Okay, this next covering subject, that's a weird way of saying it, is Graveyard Recursion. So why don't you take us away with the first one here?
All right, the first one is Wake the Past. It's 5 red-white for a sorcery. It's a lot of mana. Return all artifact cards from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Okay.
They gain haste until end of turn.
Wow, gravy on top. They gain haste as well?
I love that they gain haste.
Yeah,
because... That feels very... Doesn't that feel Boros? Because this is like a very value effect, right? It's just like, bring everything back, get your engine going, and that's great. But I love that it also has that little bit of Boros flavor to it, where it's like, oh, by the way, if you wanted to attack, you can attack.
Yeah, because people might read that and go, oh, my mana rocks, my, you know, my 5 mana things that do stuff. But no, we're talking creatures here. We got Steel Hellkite in this deck. There is lots of cards that would love to get haste when they come back. Not to mention, they're there forever. So this is a sort of 7 mana win the game type of spell in Boros now. You got to build around artifacts, but hey, you know what? It's better than building around attacking, I think.
This deck is built around artifacts. It goes in perfectly. And there's a ton of ways to get artifacts in there. Your commander gets artifacts in there.
And you might want to bring this one back because you're probably not hard casting it as often. I'd rather pay 7 mana than 9 because this is a 9 mana card called Triplicate Titan. That's a 9/9 artifact creature golem with flying, vigilance, and trample. So that by itself is pretty scary. Flying, Vigilance, Trample, no one's going to block this thing anytime soon. But if they do get rid of it, if they're like too scary, well, when it dies, you create three things. One, a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature token with flying. And a 3/3 colorless golem artifact creature with vigilance. And can you guess the last one? A 3/3 golem artifact creature with trample. So the Titan becomes all three of its parts here. You can see it's got like a bull head, a bird head, and a dude with a spear on it. So I guess those represent all three things it can turn into. Wow. This card seems really fun to cheat out with one of your commander cards. It seems like a really good card to get out with Wake the Past. Pretty powerful. Obviously, a 9-mana card like Phyrexian Triniform, they're hard to cast, so you're going to want to find a way to get out on the battlefield otherwise.
But artifacts are a little bit easier to cheat into play than a lot of other things, and some of the other big artifacts that we see, like a Blightsteel Colossus, can't stay in your graveyard very long. Same thing with Eldrazi, you know?
Right.
They have these shuffle effects, these ways to get them back into their library, and finally we have big 9-mana dumb thing that we can reanimate or, you know, cheat into play. And you know what? This deck has a ton of mana ramp too, so there's a chance you just top deck it and cast it.
Yep, that seems pretty good. Otherwise, maybe you're using you're using something else, right? You're playing Awake the Past, or you're getting this on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And or you're using Audacious Reshapers to reshape into a 9-mana, right?
Reshape into it.
And then if someone targets it removal, you use the reshapers to get rid of it and you get 3/3s. Jeez.
Woo!
Party.
I like that.
I like it a lot.
I like that. Okay, Reconstruct History. It's 2 red and a white for a sorcery. Return up to 1 target artifact card, enchantment card, sorcery, instant, planeswalker. And then from your graveyard to your hand, and then you exile this.
Am I really holding 5 fingers?
That's 5 things! That's 5...
Nice. Can't do that. Couldn't do that a freaking month ago.
Now I know,
we can't.
Right?
Vaccines rock. Okay. Wow. That's a lot of value.
That's a lot. That's 5 things.
Yeah,
you can return back.
Even if you get... Are you happy if you get 1 thing?
No.
two things?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Four mana, return two things in red and white. And it, again, you have the whole range. Creature, artifact, enchantment, sorcery.
No creature.
Oh, no creature, sorry. Artifact, sorcery, instant, enchantment, or planeswalker.
Yes.
Jeez, that is pretty good. I mean, just looking at the cards that we even have on the
battle. You're going to get an artifact every time out of this deck.
Yeah, you're always going to get an artifact. You could get your monologue tax back. You could get your rip apart, your wake the past. There is so many things you can pick up here.
You're getting two for ones all the time. And every so often, you're going to achievement unlocked, get a five for one. In Boros for four.
Yeah, that is an achievement unlocked. I mean, if you have, and red's got tons of ways to discard cards as well. So I could totally see playing into a Reconstruct History play where you're doing your, you know, your faithless looting or whatever, getting stuff into the bin. Everyone's like, why are you discarding that? It's so good. You'd be like, you're ready to see the most nuts play that I've ever done in Boros?
Getting it all back.
Reconstructing history, indeed.
This is in the main set too, by the way.
Yeah. So I like that, right? Artifacts, as we saw, they were, what were they called back in the day? They were historic cards. If they're an artifact enchantment, there's like a name for them.
Yeah, a legendary artifact or saga or whatever.
So yeah, saga. So it looks like they're playing back into that idea of history, artifacts, telling stories. And so Lorehold, I'm so proud of you. You know, where were you 3 years ago? We needed your school and your teaching out in the world much, much earlier than we got
it. I actually really like this card because it rewards you building balanced decks too. You know, a lot of times you build these very focused, very, you know, crazy decks, you know, just instants in it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this is like, hey, build a balanced deck, play this balanced card that can give you a bunch of value back in Boros.
And it works again in like the Wyleth, the equipment decks, because your creatures are going to die. Maybe you're playing combat tricks. Maybe you need a way to rebuy something really important. So like Reconstruct History, I mean, you don't even need to be an artifact deck, right? You could just have enchantments, instant sorceries, and planeswalkers. Yeah. Like that's enough. Okay. Wow. Okay. So let's go to the last topic here, which is more artifacts, more damage, because obviously we need to win the game somehow, right? Mm-hmm. First up, we have Bronze Guardian. It's 4 and a white for a *5* artifact creature golem. It has double strike as a new ability from Strixhaven called Ward. So Ward 2. So whenever this creature becomes the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, counter it unless that player pays 2 mana. And other artifacts you control have Ward 2. And finally, Bronze Guardian's power is equal to the number of artifacts you control. Okay. Ward.
Oh, it's only missing trample, honestly.
Yeah. It's got double strike. I mean,
this thing's going to get huge. People are going to have to block this thing. Double strike is big. You know, I've seen decks that put treasure onto the battlefield, artifacts on the battlefield and all this stuff have these things get massive, you know?
Also, it has Ward 2 and it gives other artifacts you control, not just artifact creatures. So we're talking about your Archaeomancer's maps and your like the cards that are really good, right? So that's really interesting because
you discouraged by Ward 2 or
totally?
Yeah,
because like I put my removal spells in my deck because they cost 2 mana, not 4. And if they're 4 mana, I want them to exile something, get them off the battlefield forever. And if that turns that 4 mana spell into a 6 mana spell, it's a really good deterrent because it slows everyone down sometimes just enough for them not to be able to cast that second spell that turn or the one that, or sequence it the exact way that they wanted to. It feels more and more like Commander is this like battle of inches. And so effects like Ward, where they were not as amazing back in the day, are much better now that everyone's trying to play more efficiently, lower CMC spells, because this just jumps the CMC of their deck when they're trying to target your stuff. Even abilities like a tapper or whatever to tap something down just cost 2 more to do.
Ward's like Frost Titan, right?
Yeah.
So it's punishing where if you target it and you can't pay the 2, it just gets countered.
Yeah,
I used to think that they would make it so that you just couldn't target it if you don't pay the extra 2.
No, you can target it.
But now you can target it and your spell just gets countered.
Counter it unless that player pays. Yeah, and if you can flash the Bronze Guardian in or find a way to cheat in and it's in speed.
Ooh, that'd be fun. I like that.
That's cool too.
It's a good achievement right there.
Yeah. There's a lot of achievements to be unlocked with this deck. Okay, the last new card that we're going to be talking about here before we dig into the stats of this deck is Dig Site Engineer. 2 and a white for a 3/3 creature dwarf artificer. Whenever you cast an artifact spell, you may pay 2 mana. If you do, create a 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token with this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control.
It's a Karnstruct.
Karnstruct.
I love
amazing.
Karnstructs.
Yeah. So anytime you cast an artifact, you 2 mana on top, you could sometimes be making a 5/5, a 6/6, an 8/8.
They keep building on each other. And again, we talked about how many treasures this generates, how much, you know, random incidental artifact mana ramp, so that when you just play a random artifact, pay 2, and then you just, oops, get a 5/5 or an 8/8, That's great.
Yeah. This seems like it's nice too. It's a 3-mana 3/3. It's right in that spot of like high value creatures that don't break the game, but clearly are very good in your deck if it synergizes, right? Like you have the Courser of Crucifixes for lands decks, your Azusas, and Digside Engineer, I think, is right there for artifact decks. Costs a little bit of mana, but when you're making 7/7s, 8/8s, and then they become fodder for your other artifact cards, your Bronze Guardian gets bigger. It seems like it's got that cross table synergy that works really well.
Well, I think that there are elements of this deck that are a ramp deck, because we do have these 9 drops and these big artifacts.
Yeah.
And one of the issues of a ramp deck is that sometimes you can draw all of the things that get you there
right. And
no action, or you draw the action, you know, before you have the ramp that gets you there and your deck feels clunky. This gives you something awesome to do when you draw Boros Signet, you know, and turn 7. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All of a sudden that Boros Signet becomes a 5/5 construct creature, or it's 6/6 or even more.
Yeah.
And you get to have that Boros Signet.
You know, so. And it pumps this thing, and you can sacrifice it for value,
right. And
you can, you know, polymorph it away or whatever for something better. And all of it builds on each other.
Yeah, and I feel much better about using the Audacious Reshapers to get rid of a construct than one of my like really powerful artifacts, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive very quickly into the deck stats. Those are the 21 new cards. I am unbelievably impressed. Maybe we overhyped it a little bit, but like seriously, there are at least 6 or 7 cards in here that make me go, these are going in decks that I already have right now.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people that love artifacts, that love this deck specifically, are going to be excited about how these synergize and work together.
Yeah.
I have a Mardu artifacts deck, so I'm geeking out about this a lot. But then there's a lot of other people that look at these like staple cards, that look at the things that provide more depth to Boros.
Yeah.
And they're all secretly happy too.
And the reason I really liked the triple of Cursed Mirror, Monologue Text, and Archaeomancer's Map is that none of them are Boros. They are white and red.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put them, that means, into a lot of other decks. You don't need to have red and white in the deck that you put them into. So that I think is really valuable. Yeah, and Reconstruct History is the only Boros one. But like, man, Secret Rendezvous to draw a bunch of cards.
I think. And I like the Angel. I honestly like the Angel.
Yeah, I do too. Angel of the Ruin, 7 mana. Man, if you had to choose one favorite from here.
You know, you called it. You said there are like 6 cards that, like, artifacts aside, you feel like you like a lot that you would run in a bunch of decks. And
yeah.
I think this is it right there too.
Yeah. And I do love the commanders as well. So let's talk about the deck. Stats. So how many ramp spells are in this sucker?
16 ramp spells. Lots of artifact ramp. And that's, I think, what we need. You know, in a ramp deck, in a deck that has 9 drops, you need a critical mass of artifact ramp.
Yeah, and the artifacts serve 2 purposes, for ramp as well as fodder for your commander. There are 8 card draw spells. However, there are 9 cards that potentially put an artifact into the graveyard while drawing you a card.
Yeah, usually we don't count cantrips as draw spells. That just like, oh, like we play this and you discard a draw card or something like that.
Right.
It doesn't give you enough velocity to move forward in the game. But in this deck, getting artifacts or getting things into the graveyard does give you value. And so it's important to note that there's a lot of cards in here that like kind of cycle themselves or put themselves in the graveyard
right. Or
cantrip a little bit.
And yeah, we had the Mount Cycler and the Plane Cycler. So those are both, yeah, they look so much better because of the synergy and the enabling effect that they have. There are 11 targeted removal spells. So that's, I mean, we just talked about in the most recent episode of Deck Building Template that you got to up this number now for targeted removal. And 11 versions of that that's perfect.
That's great.
Right in the right spot.
Yeah. And also, we didn't skimp on the board wipes either. They're 4 board wipes.
Okay.
It feels like this is really well balanced.
It does. I mean, just looking at these cards here alone, right? There aren't too many cards that are like, there's a couple of 5 drops, there's a 9 drop, a 7 drop, but there's so much value packed into the cards that it doesn't feel like you're going to be sort of like just doing nothing. And I know the deck has lots of big impactful spells as well, but this does seem really nice. And board wipes obviously better in artifact decks, especially when you don't care when the stuff goes to the graveyard. So seems like there's a lot of value here. Well balanced. Good job on the pre-con construction. We'll obviously go more into that when we do our budget deck tech upgrades and all that. But from what DJ and I see here, we give it 2 enthusiastic thumbs ups. Okay, so this deck, you know, the lot of the cards we didn't talk about are all the cards that are in the deck itself. And it looks like, you know, the deck strategy is just get value out of artifacts, mess with your opponents, get rid of their stuff, outvalue them over the long run, and kind of grind them down a little bit. And then maybe do the Boros thing, which is swinging for the double striker or hit them really hard with these giant flyers.
Yeah, your commander really adds a lot of value because you can play your normal game plan of ramping and playing artifacts. Mm-hmm. And that totally works. And that's what makes a powerful commander in many cases, that you can have your game plan go on without it. But when you do play your commander, then that gives you that added benefit of giving access to your graveyard. And that's going to be super important. Sacrifice outlet built in, and then doubling up on those things in your graveyard. Like, hey, let's just double up the soul ring that someone blew up. Let's discard, you know, an ancient den that's in this deck, and then suddenly be able to have two lands and ramp that way.
Yeah, that's really exciting. The fact that you can get rid of these Darksteel Citadel, Great Furnace, these are just great lands because they count towards your artifact total and they're a land drop. So you can already feel the synergy sort of clasping together here. I'm a big fan of this deck so far, just based off of that alone.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times we want to be doing things in Commander games, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the curve in this deck is good enough, and there's enough ramp in this deck that you can always be doing, you're always doing things. And then when you run out of things to do, your commander gives you card advantage. You know, we see all of these other things that give you card advantage that let you churn through your deck. And then you're not just creating like this value engine that doesn't do anything, that just draws cards, that dirtles out. You're playing fun, impactful, big spells. You know, we've got reprints like Bosch and Mirror Battlesphere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Meteor Golem, the 9-drop that we talked about before. Just like
Titan.
Big things to cheat out with Felden and Duretti also in here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Felden's to bring back and have haste, you know, with that big 7-mana bring everything back spell.
Yeah, and then you have cards like Mycosynth Wellspring or Ikar Wellspring, which both want to be sacrificed and play really well in a deck like this. You've got your classics, you got the Sol Ring, Arcane Signet, and everything. Oh yeah, you have Steel Overseer.
I like Steel Overseer here, man.
Nice.
Just because it, like, you go wide, you put Karnstrux onto the battlefield, you know,
and then boom.
You know, in the maybe in the pre-constructed the deck upgrade thing, when we analyze this deck a little bit deeper, we'll talk about maybe taking it in a cheat big things in a play direction or a wide direction. But I really like that. Even though this deck might work against itself a little bit, I like that. It feels like a great mid-range deck that always has something to do.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way of putting it, because you're right, you could hone in on the strategy and just be like, we want to cheat huge things out, and that's that Felden of the third path type deck, or we want to go wide. I think the real reason that Ozgear just resonates so much is because when he sacrifices the artifact, he actually is a combat trick. He makes a creature get +2/+0. So that means that you could be doing a huge combat, and then out of nowhere, it's really hard to block, and also you could have lethal just by sacking enough artifacts. It's cheap enough. So it is really interesting. Obviously, Ozgear works great in terms of just being in combat. You don't want to block him as well. He's a 4/4 with vigilance, so he can attack, do that sacrificing thing. There's just a lot of synergy here. So
the sacrificing thing, you make a really good point about that, because there's been a lot of times in my artifact deck where I'm attacking with, you know, seven Thopters or something like that, seven Flyers or something like that. And then, you know, being able to, okay, you don't block this one. Okay, sacrifice the one you block, sacrifice the one you block, sacrifice
the one you block. Right, because they're going to die because they're
1/1 or whatever. And then get in all of that damage where you need to.
Mm-hmm.
It feels Boros. I like that.
Feels Boros in that regard. And then obviously you're going to sacrifice the artifacts you want to recur. But the fact that you can do both is great.
Yeah.
Because like you just said, typically your stack just being like, okay, well, I'm doing the combat trick thing. But now you have a very legitimate way to use the graveyard that you're sacrificing 7 to. So how the deck plays. Do you think this deck is fun to play? From this alone, heck yeah.
Yeah.
It's very fun to play.
I'm super excited about it. I gave it a few little test runs.
Yeah.
You know, tried to goldfish a little bit, and it was fun. I loved how often you had mana rocks to play. I feel like that sometimes keeps some precons from competing against other decks.
Yeah.
Is just that you can't keep up. You can't ramp or draw enough cards. And I didn't feel like that in this deck. I felt like there was always something to do. And I really liked getting into the mid game because I felt like my commander gained value. Doubling up things out of your graveyard was so fun.
Yeah.
Being able to strategically bin stuff to get it back later to churn through your deck was so fun.
Yeah. Okay, now let's ask the real question. Does this deck make financial sense? So we're going to look at the value of the cards. We do this for all of the new precons typically, and we take the value at the moment of recording. So this is obviously going to change once people know what the cards are and the reprints are. But let's look at Commander 2019. The average reprint value was about $80 per deck. In 2020 for Ikoria, the average reprint value rose to about $96. And for the Strixhaven Lorehold deck reprint value, we are at a solid $103. So that's pretty good reprint value. Let's take a look at actually where they come from, because this one's a little bit skewed in one direction here.
Yeah, we have some real big major reprints, you know, but there are only three cards over $5. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit of a deviation from past sets where they had the average of about five cards over $5. Yeah. But these three cards, like two of them, are way over $5.
4X, 5X even.
Yeah, we have Hellkite Tyrant at $25. Yep. Hellkite Tyrant, by the way, is fun.
Yes.
It is a fun card. I'm so glad it got reprinted.
It's been a while, right? And it's one of those, like, it's a 6-mana 6/5 dragon, right? I love this in dragon decks, but this is great because this gives you artifacts to sacrifice with your commander.
It's amazing. A win condition too. Like, you could win with this deck because the other deck says if you have 20 or more artifacts, you win the game.
Yeah, you could actually, right? You got a Mirror Battlesphere here. If you're making two copies of that, if you're making a bunch of...
You're making Karnstrux all the time. You're making Treasure all the time.
Yeah, the Hellkite... Wow, that's actually true. It is a straight up win condition in this deck. The other card that is very much up there is Thousand Year Elixir. Now, this one definitely has spiked more recently, but this is a pretty strong card. Obviously, you're able to give stuff haste, activate abilities, and you can pay man to untap creatures. So that means you're using Ozgear more than once. You're using your Audacious Reshape more than once. Pretty good stuff.
Your Steel Overseer. It does feel like this is a financial inclusion. Like Wizard said, this should not be a $25 card. People want to be able to play with their interesting activated abilities. Let's reprint it.
Yeah, and it's been in commander decks too. Yeah. So it's definitely a card that they know. And then the last $5 card or over is Combustible Gearhulk, which is just slightly hovering above the $5 amount. And I actually like Combustible Gearhulk a lot. It's a way for you to bin cards into your graveyard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, a player is going to have to give you cards with it as well. So you could draw cards off it. So I like that a bunch.
Do you know what else is fun in a
Both
deck that has nine
great.
Drops in a deck that has like just being able to say like bin them to someone and then you mill a 7-drop, a 9-drop, an 8-drop, another 7-drop, like this could deal a ton of direct damage. Mm-hmm. And it's really satisfying when you flip things over and then do a ton of damage. And then also having artifacts in your graveyard is not a downside in this deck.
Yep. Honestly, you play Combustible Gearhulk, and sure, you just get a 6-mana 6/6, but putting three cards in your graveyard in this deck is probably akin to drawing at least 1-1.5 cards. So that seems pretty good there as well. Now, there are 14 cards over $2, and the average in 2020 for the decks was 17 cards over $2 in each deck, but you've got really great inclusions with Steel Overseer, which used to cost a ton, by the way.
Yeah, dropped to around $3 now.
Yeah, you know? And then you have Solemn, Simulacrum, Steel, Arcane Signet, Sol Ring, all of those cards, obviously, format staples.
And you just mentioned a bunch of format, I mean, Steel Overseer definitely goes in artifact decks, but you mm-hmm. mentioned a bunch of format staples, just like you said. And so I think that Wizards is doing that a lot more often, which is putting in a lot of format staples.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys can do math. That means that there are a lot of cards that are, you know, 50 cents, 25 cents and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think that's the new standard in these kinds of decks. But honestly, I don't mind.
I don't mind it either. In fact, I'm just looking at this, right? We have Duplicate Steel Hellkite, you have Commander Sphere, you have Hedron Archive. I would highly recommend a new player buy this deck because just by itself, you can put Duplicate and Steel Hellkite in pretty much any Commander deck and not feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's better in this one, but this feels like a really great starting place for just a bunch of different, you know, Sculpting Steel is another amazing budget card if you don't have, you know, amazing artifacts, but you want to copy your opponents.
Sol Ring, Arcane Signet, Mind Stone, you know, just like really, really good ramp spells that go in a lot of different decks.
Yeah. So I'm feeling really good about that. So to the listeners, are you excited about this deck? Because me and DJ, I mean, we're like children, you know, it's like Christmas over here for us.
It is Commander Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, except red and green has turned into red and white because this deck is blowing my mind. I can't wait to see what's in the other pre-cons. My only hope is that they don't have so much value that it just makes this one look pale in comparison, you know?
Do you know what? I think that, remember, all of the value that we're giving is just the reprint value.
Yeah.
It doesn't take into consideration these format staples that we talked about. So what's going to happen is that people are the other reprints are going to go down a little bit. Hopefully they're going to go down. People are going to play with, you know, all of these amazing cards, you know, Arcane Signet go down, be a dollar, all that good stuff. But then we get to play with these new cards and these new cards hold a lot of value. And
they hold a lot. I think we're going to see Archaeomancer's Map in Monologue Text quite a bit. And Cursed Mirror is just going to be one of those cards when it gets played on turn 8, everyone's going to go, oh, What? It does.
Everyone. I'm going to go, oh, what?
Oh, because you're, yeah, or you're the one playing. It. Yeah. Oh, what? Take that, opponent. So let us know if any of these new cards slot perfectly into your existing commander decks. Maybe there is a cool strategy that we didn't think about that you love to see with these new synergies that are artifacts or not. And of course, if you want to pick up this deck, and now that you know what the reprints are, if you want to pick up any of these new format staples, head on over cardkingdom.com/command zone. That's our affiliate link. When you do so, you're going to head to one of the best businesses around when it comes to buying and selling cards. You can trade in cards to them as well, but most importantly, get the cards you want. Get the Monologue Taxes, the Archaeomancer's Map, the Cursed Mirrors.
Play with cool new cards.
You know, that's my favorite part about Commander Christmas, and they did such a good job with Commander Legends that I have a lot of faith that they're making good stuff for Commander. You know, maybe we were complaining about Red and White a couple of years ago, and it looks like finally we kind of caught up to the development cycle.
They were telling us.
Yeah, just wait.
They were like, just wait. You're going to get a little bit every time. And I think that we are getting a little bit more every single time.
Yeah.
And it feels good. It feels good.
It feels really good. One can only hope that, right, I think this is the exact right power level that I want it to be. Mm-hmm. None of us are really interested in playing competitive EDH. We don't need these staple-y type cards to be 2 mana, 1 mana. We'd rather them be, you know, 3 or 4. I think 4 has been like this is our balanced mana cost in Magic. And I think that's just the right place to be, you know, so it doesn't go crazy with the competitive players and Legacy and all those older formats to shoot the prices up. Hopefully they'll be widely accessible to everyone. And finally, Ultra Pro is another sponsor of the show. When you get these decks, you might want to get the Lorehold specific sleeves, the Lorehold specific playmat.
Yeah, rep your college, right?
Rep your college, yeah. I'm really excited. I'm just glad that we are not on Ravnica and doing the same two color pair names over and over again. I think Boros is going to become Lorehold for me in terms of how I describe it.
Just like, oh, what kind of deck are you playing? Oh, Lorehold deck.
It's a Lorehold colors deck. And they're like, oh, what's that?
You mean Boros? No.
No, Lorehold. Yeah, Boros is more about attacking. I'm more about value over here. And of course, let's move on to the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of Magic. Before we started, DJ was like, I don't know what to talk about. But I think I do know what you want to talk about.
What do I want to talk about?
The fact that we can both sit here right next to each other and be free and happy and feel safe because of vaccines. They're rolling out all around the country and the world. I think we passed the 100 million mark by like 50 something days instead of 100. Yeah. So
it was good.
At this point, you know, I know a lot of people that are just calling their local CVS and asking every day, like, hey, do you have any extra? Hey, do you have any extra? Takes very little time off your plate. And if they do, you can just go right in. And we're almost at that point where there are going to be enough vaccines for every single person that needs it. Thank goodness. I never thought we'd get out of this. But
I know, right?
Yeah.
So we're almost there. Be safe in the meantime.
Yes, we're not all the way there yet. Yeah. You still need to wear a mask in public because even though we have the vaccine, we could carry it and we could give it to other people. So make sure you still adhere to wearing masks, all of the guidelines, wash your hands, all that good stuff. And if you have a chance to get a vaccine or get one for someone else, definitely, I can't recommend it enough. This is a bipartisan issue. Everyone agrees. Just get vaccinated so we can get back to playing Magic and Magic Fests.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy, I'm so excited to play some Magic.
Man, me too. If, you know, what's the, I'm just thinking about Vegas because it's the biggest one and we get to meet the most fans and it's the most fun. But, you know, we've been talking
about
going.
Not just the LGS, right?
Like, I know,
like,
right?
We have these big things like, yes, I'm thinking about Vegas too. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm definitely thinking about that. But I'm also thinking about, like, just having my friends over.
I want to do a Commander Legends draft so badly.
How much storage boxes we have. This is not outside the world of Magic, but yeah. I have like just boxes of stuff where I'm like, put it on the shelf and I'm like, someday.
You're like singing to it.
Someday.
It's looking at you, a little tear drops down its eye. It's like, please play me. Yeah, so I can't wait to do all of that. Hope all of you can find out vaccines and stuff. Just call around all your CVSs. Those types of areas are going to be providing them as well. The same people that give you flu shots. So very excited. The light is at the end of the tunnel. We just have to hold out a little bit more and we're going to get there, everyone. Okay, cleanup step. Our editing, graphics, and logistics team here at the show. Manton Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Alfred Estaca, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nam, Jordan Pridgen, Arthur Meadowcraft, Sam Waller, Josh Lee Quiet, and DJ.
You had to take a breath in the middle of that.
Yeah, I did. I don't think I could do the whole thing. And of course, special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer. He does those cool animations in front of our show, sometimes behind us. You can find him online at Living Cards MTG. He's just another one of our graphics teams here at this point. So, DJ, it's so good to have you here. It's so good to podcast again with you. I still think about that bling episode we do sometimes.
I do too. It's mostly because I keep buying more bling.
Yeah, I just restocked my bling stock and I got a couple of new cards. I love the fact that, like, that new Cultivate, by the way, the full art one from M20, yeah. I think, might be one of my favorite, like, treatments of that
kind. I'm looking at old bordered foils from Time Spiral Remastered.
Oh, man. I really hope that set gets another reprint because those cards look so cool. The Tastiger that got played on game nights from Cashes in the old frame. It,
so good.
When it happened, I was like, that's exactly how that card should look.
I know. Oh, my gosh.
All right, everyone. That does it for us getting really crazy about Lorehold. There's plenty more deck reveals out there. Make sure you go look for them. I think they're all dropping around this time frame. And, of course, we got tons more content on the way, so make sure you subscribe to our channel. Follow DJ. Where can they find you online?
Jumbo Commander.
Jumbo Commander.
I have a YouTube channel. Easy. I have a Twitter. I'll be around here, too. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for watching.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.